I have an important announcement for you before today's episode. The doors of our in-person money and wellness event is now open. I'm so excited. Listen up. If you're a woman physician and 2024 is the year that you've said you want to make sure you grow your money and your wealth and your life, this is the event you do not want to miss. It's going to be me, you, and an intimate group of women physicians in person, May 17th to 19th in Atlanta. It is going to be fun. You're going to learn. There's going to be transformation, and you are going to grow your network and build even deeper relationships. I cannot wait to see you there. So go to moneyfitmd.com/WYC. This is the event you've been waiting for. I cannot wait. See you in May in Atlanta.
Hi, Docs. I'm Dr. Latif, and I'm the host of the Money Fit MD podcast. This is where we help badass women physicians just like you learn simple and effective tools to build wealth from the inside out. That way, we can create wealth and bigger impact without all the burnout. Enjoy the episode.
So, if you're a woman physician or just a physician at all, and you are someone that you are seeing patients, and then at the end of the day, you have to spend hours and hours charting, or you have to come in super early in the morning and start charting 1 hour, 2 hours before your patients come in. Or maybe you're someone that after your kids go to bed, you find yourself logging back on remotely so that you can just catch up on your charting, and this is starting to affect your mental health, your family. This is an episode you do not want to miss. So welcome to my podcast, my show, depending on where you're watching us from. This is Dr. Latifat. I am the host of the Money Fit MD platform. I am a physician and also a money and wealth coach for women physicians. I have an amazing guest for you guys today. And listen, this is one of those episodes that you may want to listen to and maybe then workshop later on, because this is not fluff at all. This is literally going to have the potential to give you more hours back in your day. If that sounds amazing, then I want you to like clap wherever you are. They're like, Latifat, you're crazy. I'm driving. I cannot clap. You can't clap while driving. Anyways, I'm so glad you guys are here. I'm glad we found each other. If we haven't met before, thank you so much for tuning in today. So I want to welcome my guest, who also happens to be one of the amazing women physicians inside of the Money School. I've known her now for a couple of years, and she is, well, I'm going to have her introduce herself, but you'll see why she's going to help us solve the problem that I talked about when we first started. Welcome, Dr. Mary.
Thank you so much for having me today.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Fabulous, fabulous. So can you tell our people, for those that haven't met you, and they're like, who is she? Why is she here? We're here to get our money, our wealth, our time on. How is she going to help us with that? Tell us who you are and your journey to where you are today.
Yeah, so as Dr. Latifa said, I'm Dr. Mary, and I am a full-time hematologist oncologist. I'm also a full-time, working full-time and a certified life coach for physicians. So how I got here was because not too long ago, I was, while working full-time, I was working more than full-time, just, seeing all the patients. And after hours, I would be charting a lot. Come 7 o'clock, I would be, not done with work, but I wanted to go home to see my family. And so after going home, tuck the kids in bed, I would be charting some more. And sometimes I would be charting on the weekends. And since it wasn't life for me, I was miserable. I felt stressed, frustrated, irritable, burned out, you name it, all the negative emotions, all the really helplessness. I just felt like I wasn't living until the pandemic came. That was the time that I actually was able to take a break because we were just seeing a third load of the normal patients that I would be seeing. And I had a taste of going home on time and actually going home earlier than on time. So At that time, I just had the chance of exploring different things. I was baking with my kids. I was, doing other things, and I didn't even have social media. I was just browsing my husband's Facebook and came across, physicians doing things outside of clinical medicine. And that's how I learned about life coaching. I was so desperate at that time that I thought anything would, make me feel better or, help me with my day, maybe with charting. So I joined a women physicians coaching program and worked with a coach. And just to fast forward, because of that, that changed my life forever. And so I am now able to go home on time. I'm still seeing full time, seeing 20 some patients, 20 to 27 patients a day, hematology oncology patients. And I'm going home done by 5 with all my charts done.
Wow. Going home by 5 after seeing 20 something patients in clinic. Wow. I'm curious. So let's go back to before the pandemic happened and life as usual. How long were you in practice for, and what was your patient load like before the pandemic?
Yes. So before the pandemic, I was in practice as an attending, still the same job as of now, about 10 years. About 10 years. And I was seeing also about the same, I would say an average 25 patients a day.
And I know that you are married. Is your husband a physician as well? I'm just curious about the dynamics of the time and the charting, because for most physicians, that really does affect their personal lives, where, they're seeing 20 something patients, 15 patients, whatever the number is. And many times I've heard people say that it does affect their personal life. How was that dynamics for you before you got the tools that helped you?
Yes. So my husband is a dentist, and he has his own private practice. So he's the more flexible one. And that's yes, because I was just working such long hours that I did not sign up for. I felt like I wasn't really able to fully connect, with my husband, with my family, and not to mention the quantity, the time, but also the quality, because I was just so drained. I was so tired, and I was just emotionally not 100% available. Thankfully, I have a very understanding husband. He is very loving, and at the same time, is I just feel like, what I was going through, he wouldn't understand. Like some other physicians, like my colleagues, but I also felt like I didn't really have a lot of people to talk to.
That's something that I've heard a lot. In fact, one of my friends whose husband is in medicine is like, my husband has to wake up at 4 o'clock. He wakes up at 4 o'clock in the morning, starts charting before he goes to work. So,
Wow.
yeah, it's just so crazy how much this actually does affect not just our ability to see patients, but also our ability to do our lives. But I'm curious for you, when you were learning, when you went on social media, and it's funny because social media gets a lot of bad rep, but for you, that led you to the coaching. I'm
Yes.
curious what your thoughts are about that, because that's something that we hear a lot about. The social media is, negative and all that good stuff.
I think that everything has both sides, it's like a pandemic. No one wanted the pandemic, but for me, the other aspect of it is what I got this opportunity that I didn't ask for. But it was just the right opportunity for me to transform my life. So I think social media, it's kind of the same. It's like, yes, if you spend hours and hours on end to look for things, there'll be endless things to look at, and you can waste your time, and or you can use it to help you, like say, look for some resources that may help you grow, that may help you learn something. So I think it's like, it's important to use your judgment as of what you do about the tools that you have.
No, I agree. I mean, definitely it's about having the correct boundaries and making sure that you're not going there and being unintentionally being fed. And then you wonder why you don't like your life, because literally social media just told you everybody's having the best time of their life except you. Right. So I'm curious, when you found the coaching tools, did those coaching tools specifically teach you how to apply to your charting? Or were you learning those tools and like, oh my goodness, this can work for my charting, this can work for my time? How did that transition work for you?
Yes, so I think that's the amazing thing about life coaching. It's the kind of the tools, the skills that I learned, they seem quite simple, yet I was not exposed to them. And at the same time is they are things that I can use in every aspect of the life, and I feel like, I learned something, and I can apply it to different people, different situation, and it's amazing. And it just makes my life more colorful, more lighthearted, and I'm just really grateful for that.
If someone was listening right now, and I know that this was not part of a conversation, but they're like, okay, you're recommending life coaching, or like, what is something or a resource that you can recommend for people that want to learn or just experience life coaching?
Hey, I'm going to interrupt this episode briefly just to share a quick message from our sponsor. The sponsor of today's episode is Soxy Doc. Yes. Listen up, women. You know how we spend so much time on our feet as women physicians? We spend time serving others, taking care of others, and we need to do a better job of taking care of ourselves. However, as we do all those things, including saving lives, we deserve to walk around with comfort and badassery on our feet. This is why we have created Soxy Doc, a whole new line for women physicians that prioritize their comfort, their own badassery, so that you can walk around the hospital feeling like a boss. Visit soxydoc.com to check out the options that we have for you. Again, it's Soxy, Soxky, doc.com, because every physician should be a Soxy Doc.
I think some, there are a lot of online, resources, and I think so I'll just say, for example, I was certified from the life coach schools, so that's also a website, that you can look into. And of course, I feel like different people may have different needs, and also different cultures, you kind of fit different people. So it's also something that, you can check out different people's websites and just or even listen to podcasts like Dr. Latifah, right? So you get a sense of what that person is like to see, hey, do you click with them? Because, I think it's kind of like you're looking for a doctor, all the doctors are kind of trained, pretty much certified the same way. Otherwise they shouldn't be doctors. And sometimes you just feel like you have a better connection with one versus the other. So it's kind of the same way.
Thank you for that bonus tip. All right, so let's go back in time. I want you to share like that moment you applied the coaching tools into charting and realized that it was going to work. How was that? Like, how was that discovery process? And I'm asking that because this is such a huge burden for people that I just imagine for someone like you that been going home at 7 p.m. every day, dragging through, maybe stressed, maybe burned out, maybe wishing life was different. And then here you are with this tool that's called life coaching. And then one day you're like, wait a minute, this ish works for this. Like, do you remember that moment for you?
Yes, and I would say it's the process wasn't not overnight, obviously. And what you described, I was all of the above. I was really going through miserable. I was hopeless to the point that, I think until that day that I decided life coaching could be helping me at, to a certain capacity. And I think that really slim hope that really sparked everything, because, with the hope I started to believe that maybe it is possible. You know, with that possibility, that kind of like, I think, because, you know, if you don't think that something is possible, you're not going to do it. Like if you don't think that you can learn how to ride a bicycle, you're not going to learn it. You know, you may not even start doing it. So I think it's important to just believe that it is possible, even though it looks like it's impossible right now, because, you know, if you think that it's totally 100% possible, you will be doing it already. So I think that's important. And I think the second thing is really to be open to different approaches. And I was really open to, you know, being curious and just having someone to point out things that I can do, or just a different perspective of doing things. So I think, you know, I'm talking about all these is because those are all my processes that kind of went on gradually, you know, and I would just say in about 3 months. So it was, you know, not overnight that I went home past 7 with charts undone, and then all of a sudden I went home by 5 with everything done. It was more like, okay, you know, the first step was I was going home by 7 with everything done, and then, you know, slowly push back to 6:30, you know, 6, and then 5:30, and then 5, you know. So it was a gradual process, and really, but the I would just say that what I apply, it's like, you know, important to just have the hope, the belief, and also very importantly, the why. You know, why do I want to go home on time? So for me, it's to be able to spend more time with my family. And so that's kind of the backbone of what is, you know, what my motivation is. And I think that is important to have that positive type of motivation, as opposed to, oh, I hate charting. I don't want to chart. That's why I want to finish it. So I think, you know, with that more positive motivation, then you can generate more, you know, pleasant or positive emotions to use as fuel to drive your day.
I love that, getting more of a helpful foil to use. I like that. And while you were talking, one thing came to mind. Many physicians say we hate charting, but I wonder, is it really that physicians hate charting, or is it that they hate the time that charting takes out of their life?
I think it's the latter, you know. It's because the thing is, it's like, I mean, I can chart pretty efficiently now. Doesn't mean that I love charting, and but I don't really hate it at this point, because I'm like, well, because, you know, this is something that, oh, I got this, I can do this, you know. So it's something like that I am in control right now. I think in the past it was like I felt like, even though I was able to do the charting, but it was taking me so long that I did not feel like I was in control of the situation, because that was not the way that I wanted. So I think that, you know, you don't have to really like something to do it well. And I think that's a very important thing, because of course, if you like to do something, it's better, you know, it makes it more pleasant to do it. But it's also okay to be neutral about, you know, doing something. And just remember, we're not trained to be charting machines or clickers, you know. We are trained to be great physicians, to have the connection with the patients and to treat their diseases, and also to take care of their, you know, emotional well-being, and sometimes the families too. So I think I keep that in mind, so I am able to just focus on taking care of the patients and just, you know, chart whatever, you know, kind of like the bare minimum that needs to be in the chart, enough for someone else to see what I'm thinking, what I'm seeing, and what my plan is, and for the insurance to bill.
So someone is listening right now and they're like, this is great. It worked for you. It works for you. And you're an oncologist. I know that you've worked with other people. What specialties have you seen those things work in? And if there's any specialties that you've seen it not work in, where it's like you're beyond fixing, what specialty will that be? Because I do think this is so important. And you know, when I think about how this applies to money and wealth building. Like, our time is important, right? We spend so much time working, we spend so much time thinking about the incomplete work we have, whether it's charting, that even when we have time, we don't have the attention to spend with our families. And what you're doing is not only getting people their time, but also their attention, which, in my opinion, that's gives them the ability to be able to live their rich life. So I'm curious, what specialties, and if you want to share some of the stories of anybody that comes to mind that you've worked with, that would be great.
So I'll just say, before I answer that question is, as we talked about, life coaching is really applicable to, every aspect of the life. So it's not necessarily just charting. And so, in that same sense, it's that, it applies to pretty much all specialties. So I have coached, cardiology, also oncology, family practice, internal medicine, and psychiatry. I think the one that I want to mention is actually in psychiatry because, psychiatrists, they actually, mostly they talk, with the patients. And sometimes, they want to write very detailed notes. And the question is, how detailed is detailed enough? Do you have to really relive the whole hour of conversation you have the patient, or you can just summarize things? So I think, that's kind of like the main thing that I work with one of my clients. It's that, yes, you want to include most everything. At the same time, is it's okay to summarize because you don't necessarily have to put in all the details in your chart.
I love that you mentioned family practice because that is one of the fields. I mean, everyone is impacted, but I think as primary care doctors, they can get really, really impacted. So I love that you mentioned that. Before, because I know you have so many tools that you teach, and I want you to share some of our people, but I'm going to tell you one thing that came to mind. I think sometimes as physicians, it's not like we're like blaming people. But we did not sign up to be chart machines, right? And sometimes the challenge that I've heard people have, or someone may be hearing now and thinking about it and going, if you're saying that I can still see the same number of patients I'm seeing and I can do my charting without changing the system, does that mean then that the system is not the problem?
I disagree. I mean, I don't think, the system, it's a problem because, I think the macro system really, needs to change because, we are, I think by nature, most of us physicians, we think of other people first. We think of taking care of patients first. So we put ourselves last. And of course, that has to change because, we got to take care of ourselves well enough to really give ourselves, 100% to other people to take care of them, to offer them physically, mentally, and emotionally the support that they need, and for us not to be running dry and being drained. So I think the system right now, it's in with the administrative demands and with everything else, like even with the insurance, I noticed that even just now, compared to say, 8, 10 years ago, that I'm doing more authorizations. I'm have to be on the phone more and more with the peer-to-peer, approvals. So it's like things like that, that it's really, I really want to say it's a waste of my time. Because I'm the one taking care of the patient, not the doctor on the end of the insurance. So, and I think that, the system really needs to change. But at the same time, is I think on the individual basis, until that happens, of course, I say, I really believe that we doctors really should be, band together to as a group to do our best to change, in the macro system. But individually, in the meantime, is we can do something to make our life better, to make it more efficient, and to get some time back and to get our lives back.
100% agree with you. And when we have time, we can have the energy to be able to go after the system, right? If you
Yes.
look at lobbying days, literally, I forget, I live in the state capital and I forget where what I was. I think I may have taken my parents to like a tour of the capital or something. And I saw people there like in their like lobbying. And I'm like, physicians, we don't have time to do this, right? And unfortunately, that's affecting our patients negatively. So I love what you said. And also, before we started recording, we talked about, mental health among physicians. We talked about suicide. And the bottom line is the system has to change, but we care about the individual person first right now. Let's take care of you. Let's take care of us. Let's get us well. And then we'll band together and fix the system together. So thank you for saying. I thought that was really important for us to point out because it's so easy for people to say, well, maybe then there's no problem. The other side can say that. And I want to make sure the key is we're here to empower individuals. We're here to empower individuals so that we can be alive, like literally with a pulse, but also like our souls alive so we can do the other work outside of the examination room that we want to do.
Yeah.
So share with us, do you have, like imagine right now that I'm with you and I'm like, okay, Dr. Mary, I've heard you and I'm still a little skeptical because I cannot believe there's a solution to my problem, but how can you, like, what are one or two or three things that I can start to do right now that can give me hope, something back when it comes to my time? Because something has got to change. Help me, please.
Yes, so I'll just say that the hope is you decide that there is hope, so that's kind of like the prerequisite that there's hope that you can go home on time or even 1 to 2 hours earlier than what you're doing right now. Don't think about the how just yet. Just get practice that belief. And so I think that's very important. And also I think the other thing in general that is very important for all of us, physicians or non-physicians, is to be grateful, to have the gratitude, to be thankful for what you have right now, and not to be complacent, but just be grateful for your situation. Because sometimes when you look back, years later, you realize that, oh, that's why it happened. You may not enjoy it right now, but just be grateful about the things that you have, and also opportunities for things that you can improve. Before I talk about the really the I guess the three practical tips is very important. Health is very important, so definitely get enough sleep, exercise, eat right, so those are the basic human, needs. So I think one of the things that we can do to really get back some time is to prioritize. Prioritization is very important. So, for your to-do list, really list things out. I think writing it out on paper or on a computer, it's just easier to visualize, oh, those are the things I need to do, as opposed to just keeping them all in your head. And then you get tangled, you get discombobulated, you get all confused, and then you get frustrated. So, and when you write it out, then you kind of like, look at what is the most important thing, like absolute have to do. Otherwise, bad things can happen. So do those things first, and then do the most difficult things first. Because especially in the morning time, when you're awake, you're most refreshed, and so that's the time to do the difficult things. Toward the end of the day, you're probably tired from physically and mentally, and all the decisions that you've made earlier in the day. You may be, having decision fatigue also. So your judgment may not be as good, toward the end of the day, as opposed to in the morning time. And I think in terms of the prioritization, also if you're able to batch things, to do, that's better. Like probably, like for example, Dr. Latifa, it's probably more efficient to batch podcast episodes, to record it all at once as opposed to do it in one here, one another day, so that's an example. So the second thing is really to focus and concentrate. So when you are focus on one thing and do not multitask because that does not exist. When you focus on doing one thing at a time, you have your full attention to, focus on doing it, and you're going to be more efficient in finishing it up. Because when you try to multitask, the idea sounds good. In reality, is we're just switching from one task to another and then back. And so every time you switch, it takes time for your brain to really switch mentally. All the seconds count. So if you switch like 50 times, you're probably wasting minutes and even hours, to go back to work. Minimizing distractions, that's also part of the focus. When you're at work, turn off your email notification, because when you hear that, you're tempted to look into, oh, who sent me the email and what's it about? And then by the time you look into it and you decide if you want to reply or not, then that's also wasted time. Avoid going onto social media the best that you can, as less tempted as you can do. And also at work is best to have a protocol, for your staff to know when to absolutely interrupt you and otherwise don't, especially while you're seeing patients. I'll just say that to focus better, it's of course, it's important to take scheduled breaks, like bathroom breaks, lunch breaks, and even just, stand up and stretch, but you do it intentionally, not by those random interruptions that I talked about. The last thing is delegation. Especially when you're working with staff members, MAs, PAs, NPs, front desk staff, delegate whatever you can delegate. Other than seeing the patient by yourself, or sometimes it's like you're kind of collaborating with the NP or the PA. You just delegate everything else, like phone calls, messages, so that saves you a lot of time too. So basically, these are all the things that I have used, and I gained back 2 hours and more.
Wow. I mean, I think these are some powerful things that you just shared with us, and it was a lot of great stuff. And I'm so glad I warned you guys at the beginning of this episode that this is one that you probably would want to listen to more than once. And if I were you, the way I would listen to this a second time is take 30 minutes, literally take a pen and paper for every single point that Dr. Mary said, ask yourself, how can I incorporate this, right? What would this look like for me? It would mean talking to, I don't know, Sarah, or talking to Monica, or talking to Liz, whoever your person is, or Samuel, like whoever your assistant is, and saying, okay, this is what I want. This is how we're going to do this. Seeing them as a team member. And I always talk about the power of one of the things that we as physicians don't use as well as we could be using it. And it's the power of our words. Our words, the same way you can give two people the same amount of money, and some one person will end up having more money to show for it, and the other person is going to have less money to show for it. It's whether you're using those tools as assets or liabilities. And the same is true for our words. We can use our words to complain. We can use our words to talk about how it's not working, or we can use the same words to put in place how to make it work. So you talked about delegation. That's the power of our words. Seeing that our words have power, using it to delegate. Seeing that our words have power, using it to communicate boundaries, right? I got excited as you were sharing all those, because I'm like, if you literally take out a pen and paper and write down five things from point one, five things from point two, five th things from point three, and I'm specifically talking about how you can incorporate this in your life, and then you now say, I'm going to actually do it starting tomorrow. And I'm going to do, like, look at that list and ask, which one do I want to incorporate this week? Which one do I want to incorporate next week? Which one do I want to incorporate the week after? And practice that every day. Practice doing that by actually doing the do so that you can have the have. I got really excited because I think they're such simple yet potentially transformative tools if we can learn to stop thinking that simple is not going to work. And we can stop thinking, but I've tried that before. But maybe you need to try that differently. And maybe you need to try that consistently. Because like Dr. Mary said, it may not work overnight. It probably would not work overnight because those people are not used to you delegating. They're not used to you having a boundary. They're not used to you saying, you know what? Talk to me at 11 o'clock because right now I want to focus on this activity. They're not used to you not replying right away when that email with the ping ping comes in, right? Because that's the way the system is set. So now you're going to have to retrain them so that they don't expect a reply from you every 5 seconds, but instead during a specific hour that you set aside because you're one of the administrative leaders in your clinic. And that's the time that you set to do this work. So anyways, do you agree, Dr. Mary, or did I just say a bunch of crap?
No, I'm as excited as you are, you know. So I think just to add a little bit to the delegation part, it's yes, you know, you're right. You mentioned that it is teamwork, you know, it, unless you're working by yourself solo, you know, it is always teamwork. And even in the hospital, inpatient, you know, with the nurses, with the unit clerks, it's always teamwork. And the words are so powerful. And the way you say things, and of course, the individual works, but also the attitude you have to say the things. It's like, you know, I usually in the morning time before we start clinic, I would, you know, gather my nurse and medical assistant. I'm going to say, today is going to be a good day. No matter what happens, we're going to finish on time, you know, so that kind of start the tone of the day. And you know, I think, and that's also why, as I mentioned, gratitude is so important, because when you're appreciating people, when you're thanking people and truly, really thankful for what they do, they feel that and they're going to be more willing to do things for you.
That's such a great reminder. I think as physicians, one of the things we deal with is that sometimes medicine can feel like a thankless job. And I think it's important for us to remember that there are other people that feel the same way. There are our staff members, there are the medical assistant, right? There's the person at the front desk. And I always remind myself that these people can work anywhere. They can work in many places, but they choose a healthcare setting because they want to help people. The same way we have the desire. And so even though when I was working as a full-time employed physician, what I would do is, it wasn't my practice, but I took it to be almost like my own microsystem. So anytime I got things like, you know, thank you from a patient, where they sent a card or they sent me an email, I would share that with my medical assistant and go, I didn't do it all the time, but I tried to be intentional about doing it, because guess what? They also want that thank you. I remind them of the work we do. Like, guys, we got this. It's teamwork. We did this together, right? Even when I do a procedure on a patient and someone emails me and goes, that was the best experience, I did not have pain, I forward that to the charge and say, can you please share it with the nurses that were in the room at that time? Because everybody wants to feel appreciated, but not like, oh, thank you for doing nothing. But everybody wants to see the big picture, because sometimes we all get lost in the tiny bits of the particles that we're doing and we the whole picture. So I'm glad you also mentioned gratitude in that way, but also not just thinking about our own selves only, but extending that to our team and how that can change team culture, even if you're an employed physician.
Yes. And I am an employed physician.
Any last minute tips? I mean, you already shared so much stuff, but any last minute tips that you're like, okay, Latifat, your people need to hear this. What is that one thing you want them to have in addition to all the amazing things you already shared with us today?
Yeah, I just want to share that it is possible. It is possible to go home on time, even though you have charts, like, you know, pile up for 2 months, you know. Of course, it's not going to be overnight. It is possible. And if you put the commitment to it, that, you know, you're open to possibilities, it is, you know, it is going to happen to you. And of course, I can help you with that. So
find you. How can someone that's like, okay, I need help, this has been so much burden, I need my life back like yesterday, how can they find you? And how do you work with people? Is it private? Is it in a group format? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, so I offer one-on-one physician coaching, and in terms of the scheduling, it's like I do my best to accommodate your schedule because everyone works, and I work full-time still. So we'll do your best to accommodate your schedule. And to find me is you can use my email, shiningwithgratitudemd@gmail.com. And you can also visit my website. I put out blog posts twice a week, and the website is shiningwithgratitudemd.com because I'm really full of gratitude of what has happened to me. And I want to share this with everybody. And I'm also on LinkedIn, Mary Lung MD, and on Facebook, Mary Lung.
And we'll be sharing all your links in here with people so that they can find a way to get you, because I think more physicians want to shine with gratitude. They don't want to be forced gratitude. They want to shine from gratitude and go like, oh my goodness, I finally have my life back. And maybe they can love medicine more, and maybe they can have better relationships. Maybe they can just have more peace of mind and have the time to exercise, to eat well, to get therapy, to get coaching, and all this, to travel, to do all those other things that we put off because we don't have the clarity of mind, we don't have the time, and we don't have the peace of mind to do it. So, from all my listeners, from everybody here, I want to just say thank you so much for being a part of our world. Thank you so much for being a part of our money school. It's always a pleasure seeing you, knowing that you're there, even when you don't make it life. It's just such a pleasure having you. There's a lot of, there's just a lot of joy that comes out of you, and it's always a pleasure being around you. So, thank you for that.
Thank you so much.
All right, everybody, you've heard her. Go incorporate the stuff and don't forget to leave us a review. I want to see what you took away from this episode. Let us know what you thought. And if you want to share this with at least three physicians, we need more physicians shining with gratitude because they're finally closing their charts on time. So do that and tag me if you're sharing on social media. It's Dr. Latifat, or actually MoneyFit MD. Tag me MoneyFit MD. And again, you can easily leave a review on whatever platform that you're listening with here. So thank you guys so much. Love you. Appreciate you. And I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.